In the presentation, we discussed a sample mutual fund, ICA, the Investment Company of America, and we chose it for various reasons. The biggest reason being it's been around for 91 years, and there's one or two more mutual funds that have been around even longer. In fact, this one goes back to 1926, not 1934, but they changed investment advisors, so that's they start to clock over again. And it's also been very successful. Now, this was chosen for educational purposes. I'm not trying to sell you ICA, all right? You got to be careful whenever you talk about individual products in the industry. People accuse you sometimes of shilling for them. No, we're doing it for educational purposes. And so we hope that you'll take a look at a few of the others that go with this, a few of the other ancillary presentations. We're going to take a look at the 91 years of investing in Investment Company of America. So this is a domestic stock growth and income fund. So they invest mostly in the United States, but they'll invest outside the United States from time to time. And they mostly invest for growth and dividends, right? Income from equities from stocks is dividends. And of course, we like growth, capital appreciation. So sometimes people call it a blend fund or a core fund or a value fund. But be careful because these terms get bandied about and sometimes mean different things to different people. People say, well, should I go out and buy ICA? Not necessarily, no. In fact, I'm a big fan of global investing. The problem is there just weren't any global funds back in 1934. So that's the reason we use this one. Now, this is called an illustration. And these things are very regulated, highly regulated. They have to have all these disclaimers such as investments are not FDIC insured, nor are they deposits of or guaranteed by a bank or any other entity, so they may lose value. Figures shown are past results and not predictive of future results in future periods. All this stuff is supposed to scare you and nobody reads it, and it might as well be Greek or plain song or whatever. So what do? We quickly blurn through all this stuff, although this is what the lawyers, you got to have this stuff on your disclosures. They're called disclosures. You have to have these things even though nobody reads them until you get down to the good stuff. And what we're going to do is we're going to put $10,000 back in ICA on January 1st, 1934. It actually was December 31st, but I don't know why they did that. And the industry uses $10,000. Again, I have no idea why they use $10,000. That's something set by the Securities and Exchange Commission. I mean, how many people have $10,000 lying around the house? It's usually $50 or $100 a month. But anyway, that's what they do. You're going to see that everywhere. No matter where you go, it's $10,000 as an initial investment. And remember, we're going to use the A shares, and you're going to see in one of the subsequent presentations that over the long term, the A shares paying the upfront commission is going to clobber the assets under management fee that the brokerage firms charge you now. This assumes that you want to have a financial advisor. If you don't, if after this class is over and you feel confident choosing your own mutual funds and stocks, then you can choose the ones that have low annual operating expenses and no commissions, and you'll get an even better return, assuming you don't panic. And we can go into a long discussion about why some people believe that it's good to have a financial advisor to bounce ideas off. I call it the talk them off the ledge call so that they don't panic and leave their, run away at the worst possible time when the markets have fallen. So we paid that 5.75% charge and initially invested really only $9,426 because $575 went to the investment advisor. But here we go. Starting in the depths of the Great Depression, we had a $10,000 investment doing fairly well until 1937 when there was a bit of a downturn. And then we had World War II. And then we're off to the races. The markets went in two directions in the 1950s and 60s, up and way up. And at the end of the 1960s, early 1970s, our $10,000 had become $1.2 million. Not bad, right? Here we are, 1972, $1.2 million. And what did you hear people say? Ooh, 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 is it too late to get in? Yeah. 2 years later, the brutal 73-74 bear market, it was down to 840,000. Now, what would you do? Would you sell and say, no mas, I'm never going to get in the stock market again? Or did you hang on because 2 years later, at the end of 1976, you had 1.5 million? I wish I could tell you differently. I wish I could tell you, assure you, assuage your fears that it's not going to happen. But it is going to happen. We know it's going to happen. We just don't know when. That's what investing in the stock market is like. It can be a roller coaster. But we didn't run. We didn't hide. And sure enough, the 1980s and 1990s were like the 50s and 60s. Go-go years, globalization, trade agreements, the end of communism, internet, telecommunications, blue skies, technology advances as far as the eye can see. And by 1999, 2000, 2001, we had $47 million. And what did you hear people say? Ooh, 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 is it too late to get in? Right, of course. 2 years later, we had $38 million at the end of the 2000 to 2002 bear market. And you heard people say, ooh, is it too late to get out? Oh, same thing back in 1974. Ooh, is it too late to get out? When you hear people say that, yeah, it's too late to get out. Now's the time to be buying. Because we didn't run, we didn't hide, and the market bounced back. And by 2007, we had $70 million. Our $10,000 had become $70 million. And then 2008, the bolt of lightning from the sky comes and strikes us almost not quite dead, but we're down to 46 million. And this wasn't the stock market, folks. This was the real estate bubble that bit the bond market. And we'll see how that works. And of course, the stock market is kind of like the canary in the coal mine. It goes down. Everybody went down in 2008 and 2009. And it took a while for us to come back. It took until 2012. For us to come back to where we were at the end of 2007. So you see, there's going to be times when it's going to happen. We don't know. And so, but we didn't run. We didn't hide. We kept up. And the stock market, at least some parts of the stock market, in the 2010s and early 2020s, has gone in two directions, up and way up. And our $10,000 investment at the end of 2024, was worth $334 million. And hard to believe, right? It's very hard to believe, but this is exponential growth, folks. And this company, remember we said with stocks, we were happy with 8, 9, 10%? Right, these people have been doing 12%. And they're not alone. Go through the presentation and you'll see a couple dozen other mutual funds that have been around for 50 years or longer and have done better than 10%. So the news is good, folks. If we buy, if we look for prudent long-term investment advisors and buy their mutual funds and hold on to them for the long term, the world doesn't end. Because if the world ends, right, it doesn't matter where your money is. Right? So here we go, folks. Here's the graph. And notice it's an arithmetic graph that we discussed back in Chapter 1. So the first 40, 50 years, you don't really see much of a movement. It's not until the exponential curve starts to wee up in the air. But look at the downturns. No bueno, no muy feliz. No, it's not fun, but it's part of investing in stocks. Cool. I'm very optimistic. I mean, the last 91 years have been very good to our economy, very good to our standard of living, and very good to investors. Now, what do I hear you saying? I don't have a 91-year time horizon. Well, some of you young folks, maybe you do. But yeah, I understand. I understand that. And that's why we're going to do the same thing for 30 years, $100 a month for 30 years, $100 a month for 40 years, $100 a month for 40 years, and then, here's the magic formula, increase that $100 by $10 every year. Can you do that? Yeah, you can. And then for people who are in their 40s and 50s, they don't have 30, 40 years, they only have 20 years, we have to increase the amount of money we put in per month. But hey, some people are paying $1,000 a month for their cars these days. And then we're going to thwack the thwack the assets under management model versus the old commission-based model and see what happens when we have a large sum of money to invest and see what happens with that. If you only have a small amount of money, it's not a big deal. The F-shares are going to cost you more over time, but not a whole lot. Until it's been 20, 30 years, and then it gets to be serious. Okay, so next thing, what you're going to do is you're going to do the presentation for hypothetical illustrations. And of course, if you have any questions, if you want to see any hypotheticals for any certain periods of time, amounts to invest, you contact me. Thank you so much for being in our class. And I feel so proud and honored that I am here. As the instructor, you cannot believe how honored I am, happy, proud, and glad that I am here helping you the best I can. Sounds like an advertisement. My apologies. See you in our next presentation when we take a look at the hypothetical illustrations.